Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the most mind-expanding, the most third-eye-opening podcast on Islam on the internet that you can take and you can put into the ear holes that Allah gave you, and you can digest it, and you can learn more about yourself and your Muslim brothers and sisters. And if they're not your Muslim brothers and sisters, then your Muslim neighbors and your Muslim co-workers and your Muslim friends. Because if you don't have any Muslim friends, you're missing out on life. Go get some. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the hardest working imam in the industry, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May the salutations of peace and blessings be upon all our listeners across the world. It is humbling to know that this podcast and our voices are reverberating across the globe. They're streaming through the various sources of instruments that are out there, from phones and iPads and computers. So we want to thank everyone. We want to send our blessings and greetings to you all and your families and your neighbors and your communities. You know what, Dodge? Let's send it to the whole world. Let's say salam alaikum to the whole world.
Assalamu alaikum to the whole world.
So how's everything doing, Dutch?
Alhamdulillah. Everything is good on this end. I have no complaints. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I know that Ramadan is very fast approaching, and I think we're down to, at the time of this recording, I think we're down to like 2 weeks left.
Correct.
And then it'll be here, alhamdulillah, inshallah. But I will say that you and I were texting each other before we started this recording. And I was asking you, or we were talking about tonight's topic, and I was saying, hey, what about this and what about that and what about the other thing? And you said, oh, okay, that's good. We can talk about that. I was thinking about talking about...
And we're going to stop there.
Oh, okay.
See, the listeners were so attentive. They're like, what's the topic today? And I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but I will say this much. Before you went on to speaking about our texting back and forth, you actually hinted towards both the subjects that I want to cover today, inshallah, God inshallah. Willing. The first one... Well, let's start with the second one first, and then the first one second. You did state that there is around 2 weeks left to go till the holy month and blessed month of Ramadan. Inshallah. A month that is much anticipated across the globe from Muslims, from all cultures and all walks of life, those who are new to Islam, those who are born into Islam, regardless if it's in the middle of summer in the heats of deserts, or if it's still in the cold, actually not still, but in entering into the winter season of New Zealand and Australia. Regardless where everyone is, regardless of the climate, regardless of the time that the day is, it could be anywhere from 11 hours to 14, 15, 16, 18 hours long fast. Every Muslim across the world is anticipating this blessed month. And we are going to dive into speaking about this from next week. And we're going to hope that our listeners tune in as we approach the blessed month of Ramadan, because our goal has always been, Carl, and that's how you and I really clicked. It's always been about understanding the depth of the faith and the breadth of the faith, not just the surface of the faith. And that could be another discussion, which I don't want to go into today. But as I stated on Facebook this week, when we get caught up on what scholars say, who said this and who said that, which one's right, which one's wrong, stop and ask yourself, what did the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, do? Now, this does not mean, I am not alluding to the fact that the scholars are not discussing what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did, and nor are they quarreling or disputing. And in reality, many of the scholars don't. It is the people who take the sides of the scholars do that. So it's not about what they are it's not about them being off the track. Rather, it was how the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, dealt with controversy, or how he dealt with differences. He always tried to bring forth commonality, unity, understanding, respect, acceptance, and moving forward. He didn't allow the companions to get stuck on a certain issue that would become the continuous issue of discussion for generations to come. So my post was, when you see people getting caught up on what some scholar says, ask yourself, what did the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, do? And if you get caught up on people, if you get stuck with people who are caught up on the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, himself, remind yourself, what was the intention of Allah by sending the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? So Ramadan, as much as we anticipate it, as much as we look forward to those blessed days of, you know, of striving and effort and reaping the benefits of spirituality and that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Ramadan, our podcast is going to focus on how we could strip away the cultural acknowledgement of it and excavate a whole new level of what Ramadan is about, so that hopefully by the end of this blessed month, you truly walk away with something beyond a completion certificate of 30 days of fasting. Mm-hmm. And mashallah, a few Qurans finished, and mashallah, you know, a few days of sadaqah and zakat. We want to really talk about this to a higher level. And sadaqah and zakat, Carl, of course, means a charity and almsgiving for our non-Muslim listeners out there. That being said, we're going too far off on that topic. That being said, tonight is the 15th of Shaban. It is the 15th day of the month preceding Ramadan. It is a day known for a blessed night, which is tonight, known as Laylatul Bara'a, the night of salvation and freedom, or Laylatul Nisf Sha'ban, the middle night of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, for it falls in the middle of the month. Now, I don't think we have the full time to go into this topic, and that isn't really my expectation or goal to do that today, but I ask and I plead to all my listeners out there, when we may see cultural practices muddling into religious, virtuous actions, let us not write off the action in its totality. For example, many people do things on blessed nights like the one we are in tonight, which don't have any connection with the religion itself. That shouldn't make us hate that day or that night or that practice. Rather, we should help people focus in on the virtue itself and reap the benefits without any extravagance, without any additions or subtractions. Does that make sense, Carl?
It makes complete sense. It's sometimes as humans, we can get totally caught up in what the other person is doing. And I know we've touched on this briefly in the past, but you can get completely caught up in, oh, did you see the way that guy was praying? And did you see the way, did you see his pants weren't rolled up when he was praying? And we get caught up in that and we lose the meaning of why we're praying or why we're fasting or what the night is.
Well, beyond just the meaning of prayer or fasting or the night, we lose the essence of what prayer was supposed to give us. And go deeper, we lose the meaning of why we came together to congregate and pray in the first place. Think about it.
Right.
Not only are we praying, but we're congregating. We're standing beside people we may not even know, but we're doing that for a deeper meaning. Hence, that shallow, surface level understanding which then gets muddled up with culture, has to be discarded. So, for example, Christmas. Christmas is known as the day that Jesus was born according to what the people say. I'm not going into a history lesson here. But when you ask any child today, what is Christmas? And they'll say, Christmas is a time of gifts. Christmas is a time of shopping. Christmas is a time of Santa Claus and the elves and the reindeers and the Grinch that stole Christmas. It's everything else but Jesus. So what I'm trying to say here, using that example, it is easy for us to take a celebration or a festival or any other practice and add so much more to it that tomorrow down the road, the core essence of the practice is lost. And so to ensure that we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it and what the virtue is about, because Carl, correct me if I'm wrong, but here in Florida, when we go to any mall or any store outside of Publix, there's a Santa Claus standing, ringing a bell for money. You go into a enclosed mall, there's a Santa Claus sitting that charges you money to sit on his lap and take a photo. Yes or no?
No, the Santa inside the mall, 100%. The Santa outside the mall, I'm just impressed that you only have one outside of Publix.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I never knew there'd be two, but there's one. Now,
well, you got to put again, one at each door so you know whether they're coming in or coming out.
Correct, yes. And again, they're raising funds for Salvation Army, yes. Which, again, I'm not here to belittle anyone's practices or beliefs. I totally respect them. I smile, and I sometimes whatever I can give, I do give. But my question is, when's the last time you saw Jesus sitting down? When's the last time we saw a Jesus standing up? Because remember, the celebration's about him. So again, I'm just giving this as an example. It's very easy for us to become sidetracked. So in a similar fashion, tonight's night is somewhat of a controversy of people's ideas or opinions based on legality of it and the virtue of it. But remember, virtues are given because they are bonuses, there are additions, there are things that are added on to our religion to enforce our religion itself, to give it that level of stability and to make it more meaningful. Yes, we pray. We pray three rakats for Maghrib as we just did right now. If a person says, I'm going to pray two or I'm going to pray five, then that's adding on to religion, which is not accepted. But nights like these, and I was questioning myself today, Carl, why is this night, as I accept its virtue to be a very blessed night, a night in which Allah is going to forgive all those on this earth, and he's going to listen to our prayers, and he's going to hand over to the angels of account as to who is going to pass away in the next year, and where there's going to be weather and rain and drought, and where there's going to be crops, and where there's going to be harvest. All this is going to be spread out, right? The question is, why is this happening before Ramadan? If Ramadan is so important and so great, why do we have to have something before it? And that got me thinking, Carl. And that got me to exactly a topic in a course that I just taught online. And that was how the sequence of wudu, prayer, and dua. Wudu is a prerequisite for prayer. If you have no ablution, if you're not clean, you cannot pray. And if you pray without ablution, your prayer isn't accepted. If you pray, you've opened up all the channels to now ask Allah and make supplication. If you were to pray and just walk away, then your supplication is left stranded and you don't reap the benefits. It's like getting to the finish line but not crossing it. So wudu has so many virtues. If we were to pick up the hadith, the books of hadith, and read through it, that when a person washes their limbs, all the minor sins they committed from the last prayer to this prayer is forgiven. That's tremendous, Carl. Isn't that tremendous?
It is. It is. And I know even just to take it even back a step further from washing to making wudu, to washing for prayer, making sure you're clean, which, mm-hmm. you know, just for our non-Muslim listeners, mm-hmm. it's, you know, rinsing the hands and the arms and the mouth and stuff like that. It's not, we don't have to take a full shower every time we pray. But I heard a hadith once that it was every, and I think it was specifically for Jummah, but every step you take
mm-hmm.
is I forget what the measurement or what it was, but it was like for every step you take, your sins are forgiven from the last Jummah to this Jummah. So the further you walk to to Jummah, the more you're forgiven.
So Carl, it's mind-boggling. Look at that. You just helped us make this case even stronger. So a person is washing their limbs, they're washing their hands, their arms, their face, their feet, and they're being forgiven. Then they're walking to the mosque to pray. Every step they're taking, they're getting forgiveness. But I thought prayer was just about forgiveness. No, you are purifying yourselves. You're preparing yourselves to become valid recipients of what Allah is going to send to you in the prayer, through the prayer. And once you obtain those things, you can then mold them and then ask Allah through supplication after prayer to make it worthwhile. So basically, what you did with wudu is you tilled the earth. Through prayer, you gained the seeds. And now through supplication, you sow those seeds and water it so something could grow from it. In a similar fashion, in my belief and understanding, why significant nights like the night of Bara'ah, the night of tonight, the 15th of Sha'ban is here, 2 weeks before Ramadan, is that we could start tilling the earth so that we can start preparing ourselves, so we can start purifying ourselves, so that we can gain forgiveness. So the day Ramadan begins, we take off and we continue to reap and reap and reap. And then in the last few days, we sow. And then hopefully after the Eid and the festival of 30 days of fasting, we can then watch the growth of our efforts for the next 11 months. Does that make sense, Carl?
100%. No, it's because it is. And I know I was in a let's call it a lecture today. And we were told that you know, a lot of people are entering Ramadan with the concept of fasting. And they're like, oh, I'm going to lose so much weight and I'm going to be so much healthier and I'm going to be. But it's not just about purifying the body. It's about purifying your mind and soul as well.
And since we can't see our mind and soul, but we do acknowledge it exists, it's just like an immune system. So you can see a person who is a very well-built, healthy, looking person lying on a hospital bed, and they are sick to the extent that their immune system has become weakened. And so what they're trying to do is help this person gain back his immunity and strength so that his body could fight whatever is in there and hopefully let that person stand back on their feet. Outwardly, they look perfectly fine. The body looks great. Those muscles, those biceps and triceps and everything else looks good. Right, Carl? Just like you.
Why thank you? No.
Right? With the pizza on the top.
Exactly.
But for what we see outside, don't let that deceive you, because there's much more happening inside. In a similar fashion, Ramadan is a month to build the immunity internally so that externally we lose weight or we gain weight. We look healthy or we look sick. We're happy or sad. The immunity inside will help either build you and strengthen you, or Allah forbid, weaken you and maybe even kill you. Because we know when a person has a weak immune system, then the person is susceptible to diseases and flus and viruses, which could then kill the person very fast. So that's why we have nights like tonight. Did we know that? Did our listeners know? And this is a reminder for them and myself that after the month of Ramadan, the most that a Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, fasted was this month, the month of Sha'ban. He fasted almost the entirety of this month. Some narration says for the first 15 days. Other narration says up to the 26th, 27th day. He forbid fasting 2 days before Ramadan, 2 to 3 days. Why? To give that gap, and so we could prepare for the Ramadan itself. So the fact that he fasted so vigorously and continuously during this month was he wanted to get himself into the cycle. So when the month of Ramadan begins, he goes in full-fledged. It's like a person standing in line for Black Friday sale. They can't just jump in the store, even if they're first in line. If they jump into the store and they don't know what they want and where they can find it, I promise you they're going to walk out empty-handed. But if the person's got a plan and they're 20th in line and they know where they're going to grab the coupons and what's on sale because they checked it online and they know what the flyers are saying, they're just going to run and grab and they're going to reap while you're going to just stand there looking at the four walls of the shop and everyone else emptying it. So what's your thoughts on that, Carl?
I have a couple of thoughts. First off is you are an experienced Black Friday shopper. I can tell by those comments.
I'm not going to lie. I did it once or twice. I'm guilty.
It was peer pressure. I had to go. No. And I think, you know, beyond that, as I was listening to what you were saying, I had this because I know you know, but our listeners may not, I just got over a really bad illness myself and they put me on antibiotics. And as you were speaking, all I could think of was Ramadan is an antibiotic for your soul and your mind.
And that is exactly an antibiotic because there are certain things that have taken over our bodies and our minds. And that takes us to the core topic of today's discussion. When I asked you, how are you doing? You said, Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine. And, you know, Carl, what defines fine? To many of us, fine is when everything is going according to what we think should be right and how we plan it to be. And when things start going wrong, red flags start rising. These are the minor problems. The major problems are the things that we engross in and we become consumed by them, that for some, our entire life is exhausted in questioning or challenging why something is as such, why something is as so, that we lose track as to what it was given to us for. Now, I'm going to give you an example, Carl. There was two people that reached out to me. One of them is a very dedicated listener of our podcast. And actually, Carl, his mom just passed away a few hours ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him. We return. And I'm planning to attend the funeral tomorrow morning in Clearwater. But,
I actually, one thing we should do, because just for this in particular moment, is that you know, things on the internet tend to last. Things on the internet last forever. And even if you go and delete it and hide it, it exists somewhere else in another form on another server. So if we take this moment right now and we say, everyone should make dua for her and for him and the family, you know, that's something that will continuously run through cyberspace forever and ever. So if you're listening to this in the future or right now or whatever, stop and take a moment and make dua for this family and for this sister that we have just lost.
I mean, and I think we'll pray for her. And on this blessed night, we pray to Allah for everyone on this earth. Everyone who is sick and ailing, may Allah, through His infinite mercy and bounties, bless them with health. All those who are struggling with turmoil and conflicts and problems and dilemmas and predicaments, may Allah bring peace into their hearts and relieve their problems and predicaments. And all those who have passed on and left this temporary abode, may Allah grant them the ultimate abode in paradise and make the transition through the grave to the final end, to the final destination, easy for them all. Ameen. To that. So, you know, I had a conversation with two individuals this week, and one was a question, why? You know, why? And both actually were the question, why? And one was, why is this happening? And the other one was a question from another person, why am I like this? And I'm not going to say these questions because I want to expose a person's problems. But without giving anyone's name, our world is full of lessons that we take from each other. We learn from each other. We gain strength from each other. We remind one another. So these are two of many people that struggle in life, some temporarily, some for a lengthy duration of life, questioning why. Why? For example, why am I sick? For example, why is God taking something away from me? For example, why do I look like this when no one in my family looks like this? Why do I look so different? Why am I not like anyone else? So what happens, what I'm trying to get to our fellow listeners is that we all have a why question. Either we've had it, there's been times where we've really had it, and for some of us, we've had it for a long time. And what happens is that we tend to beat up on Allah himself, right? And that's, I think, what I texted you, and I didn't want you to say that, is like, you know, why do we hate on Allah or God or the creator or the master for everything that we feel isn't right? For example, why is there poverty on this earth? Why are people in war? Why is there global warming? Why are animals dying left and right? Why are our forests being taken down? Why is our air polluted? Why is our water, it could go on, right? Why is the glaciers in the Arctic melting? Like, there's so many whys. If God is the one who did it, why is a God doing this to us if he's a God of mercy? So on a macro scale, on a micro scale, we always have beef with God. We've never turned around and said, why did I do that? You know, why did I go outside without a jacket that I got sick? Why didn't I get, you know, why didn't I get my blood test done to make sure that I was okay? Like, there's so many questions we can ask ourselves, right? And there's some things that we cannot ask. For example, a person may not like the way they look. They might not like their features. They might not like the color of their skin. They might not like their shortness or their tallness or their being skinny or their being healthy. Everyone's got a question of why. And the thing is, my goal today is to discuss two reasons why happens. And one is, sorry, I want to talk about two points. Number one is why it happens and how you can overpower it. Why happens? I hope that makes sense, Carl.
No, it makes complete sense to me.
Why happens, why the question why comes about always, is because that we live in a surrounding of insecurity. Insecurity has become the trigger point. And I've been thinking about this, Carl, for quite a while. I'm a person who likes to think, mashallah, sit down, just keep on thinking about things. And this really, you know, got to me. Why is it that why keeps on consuming our days and lives? Why is it that the question why doesn't let us go? Is it shackling us, or are we surrendering to it? And how long does this relationship last? Do we just say that's it, or do we say I'm not going to stay here and I'm going to break free? So what my understanding is, we've come to this point in our lives because we are living in times of insecurity, and insecurity breeds questions. For example, there's a very famous story that I tell in my classes and my seminars when I go to different places, because I love telling stories, that there was a king once that had an infection on the nose, and this skin infection was eating away on his nose. So the doctors at that time said, we have to cut your nose off, because if we don't cut your nose off, this so-called bacteria will continue to eat away on your face, and it's just going to eat up your body. So the king's nose was cut off. Now, when the king's nose was cut off, every person, when talking to the king, would look at the...
Well, they weren't looking at his nose, but they were looking at what was where it was supposed to be.
Exactly. They were looking at the place where it was supposed to be. So the king felt insecure. The king felt that he was not in a position where he can maintain power and authority and not be looked at differently And when we say different, that means in the negative sense, because we feel that everything that's not right about us is wrong, because what's not up is down. And so we all aspire up, right? Because we talk about advancements, we talk about success, we always give similes to, oh, you've climbed the ladder, you raised the ranks, you're getting up there. And when we talk about people who are failing or people who are facing difficulties, man, you've fallen, you fall hard. And like people say, there's no way after hitting rock bottom but back up. So these analogies and these terminologies are out there to prove the point that we see up as advancements and down as failure. So this insecurity makes a person feel low if they take it to be a why. So what happened was the king told everyone in his court, in his palace, to chop their nose off. So all his ministers and governors and all the people, his advisors, they chopped their noses off. And then when they would go home, of course, everyone at home would be looking at them. Everyone on the street would be looking at them. Hey, what's wrong with this guy? So they came back to the king and complained. And so ultimately what happened was they told everyone in the kingdom to chop their noses off. Now what happened was they created a mass effect. So anyone who was traveling through the kingdom or by the town, and they would walk through and see everyone has no nose, they would immediately put their hand over their nose because they felt that the nose was a defect. See how the tides changed? He created a vibe. He created this movement where something which was the norm, he made it look like not normal. And he did it by enforcing these things. So Carl, in brief, we used to call this thing, if every one of you stand up and look into a mirror right now, what you see in front of you is called the human being. It's called the human being. Look and raise your hand. This hand used to be called the hand. But then we started saying, no, it's the palm. No, it's the index finger, the middle finger, the ring finger, the baby finger, and the thumb. And then after that, we started saying, no, the thumb is for this, the index finger is to point, the middle finger is for, well, we know what the middle finger is used for. The ring finger is your defining factor. Are you married or not? And the baby finger is sometimes a nuisance. So when we started separating the hand from the body, the fingers from the palm, and we continued down, the fingers started asking each other one day, what are we even doing here? Because I'm the index finger. I'm the one of authority. The middle finger said, I'm the one who stands up and I show people their spot. The ring finger said, I'm the one who makes you look good in society. And the pinky finger said, well, I'm just hanging about. And then the thumb said, I could be an annoyance sometimes. Ultimately, what happened was they started downplaying each other. And then they came to that point where they said, we don't need you and I don't need you. So what happened was each finger walked its own way and the palm was left bare. And this all happened because we went down the wrong path of opening Pandora's box, as they would say, by saying, you're not the human body, you are not just a hand, but then you're a palm, and you are different sets of fingers in different parts of the fingers, each part, and then, of course, the nail, and it goes on and on and on. So what I'm saying here is humanity was one world, one people. We started fragmenting. We fragmented people based on their colors, on their religions, on their social status, on the color of their skin, on the languages they spoke, on which class of society their tribe or their people sat in, what was their affluent state, were they upper class, were they blue collar, were they white collar. And as we segmented it down and down and down and down, as I said, we opened the wrong path. That's why everyone starts feeling insecure. And that insecurity leads us to question those permanent whys. Why am I like this? As for those temporary whys, why is this happening to my family? Why am I sick? Why did this happen? Why did I lose my job? For those whys, it's not easy to say, well, question yourself, you did something wrong. It's not that way. But it is for that also, and for the first example that I gave, for both of them, the long-term wise and the short-term wise, the ones that hit you personally or the ones that hit close to home. There's only one way, my fellow listeners, that we can deal with it, and that is to embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace the fact that something may be different about me and I am not going to consider it to be a wrong. I'm not going to consider it to be an ill omen. I'm not going to consider it to be a means of throwing me down. I'm not going to consider it being a means of me being thrown back into society, because no one's throwing me back. I'm the one who's voluntarily walking to the back of the line, just like I surrender myself to the shackles of the question why. Embrace it, acknowledge it, accept it. The color of my skin, the type of my hair, the structure of my body, the tone of my voice, the height or the shortness, my being skinny or being healthy, whatever the case is, embrace it. Embrace every aspect, because Allah created us beautiful in His own way. There is beauty only if you could see it first. If you can't see the beauty in it, no one will see it. You have to open up and see the beauty of what Allah gave to you. So embrace it like Ayub, Job, peace be upon him, embraced his illnesses, and he embraced his poverty, and he embraced his turmoils, and he embraced his family running away from him, and he embraced the fact that only one wife was left with him when he left. And I think we talked about this. He left the Manhattan of New York, and he went into the outskirts of Buffalo, New York. But you know what he said? I embrace it. I accept it, because my Lord doesn't do wrong with me. So fellow listeners, as Ramadan comes closer, especially for the Muslim folk, it is a time for us to embrace Allah so that we can then turn to Him and be valid recipients. If we don't turn to Him, whatever can happen, we are not gonna gain anything from His treasures. He's giving, our direction is the opposite way.
Alhamdulillah. I that's a, you know, for me personally, given the last couple of weeks of events in my personal life, you know, I will say that that's a lot to digest for me. And I would really appreciate it if you would stop reading my journal before we do these podcasts.
Look, I think this reminder always starts for me, for us, for our listeners, for their families, for the community, for the world. And what we see happening in our world, the loss of trust, the victimization of each other, the demonization of one another, to the extent that we are demonizing our own selves every day, we can't do that anymore. Let's empower ourselves. Let us accept our fate. Let us strive towards betterment, because Allah's not holding anyone down. You could reach the stars, you could reach Mars, you could go to the tip of the universe, keep on moving. But make sure that we do it, and we do it together. Let us change our negative vibes in our world into positive ones. Let us change our negative atmospheres into vibrant ones. Let us change those frowns into smiles. Let us change those deep, dark voices of distant voices into close, loving, melodious tones. Let us trust one another. Let us become trustworthy, and let us insert trust in others so that they can live up to that trust and become trustworthy also. If we continue to do this, Carl, our world can become a better place. Remember, the keys of where we go lies in each and every one of your hands. You make the right call, and inshallah, you open the right door.
It seems like such a weird spot to end, but I know we are at the end. it's you know, normally we don't get this heavy, but it's you're 100% right, and it's a lot to digest, and we need to. I know when you were introducing this segment, you know, you said, oh, why are the polar caps melting? Why is it so hot? Why is this? Why? And it's like, well, it's because it's your fault. You know, it Allah didn't tell you go run SUVs, go put smokestacks up. We did that to ourselves. This is all us. We did this. But then as you went further, the tone and the concept really changes. And, you know, it is something that we have to... Alhamdulillah.
That's I think that was the silver lining right there. If we could say Alhamdulillah, I know there's people out there, they're facing great struggles. My friend lost his mother. I'm sure this is going to be a very tough night for him and the family. You know, we all are, you know, facing our own dilemmas. Let's embrace it. Let's say Alhamdulillah. And let's move forward you know, I'll finish this one small story, if I may, Carl. There was a lady during the Battle of Uhud, I believe, and I'll correct my sources for next week, but yeah, it was the Battle of Uhud. And what happened was the news was circulated that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was killed. He was hurt, he was injured severely, but he wasn't killed. But when she heard the news, she became so frantic. And she was running around asking, how is the Prophet Muhammad? Where is the Prophet Muhammad? Someone told her, I think your son died. Another person told her, your father died. Another person told her, your husband died. She said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What happened to the Prophet Muhammad? He said, he's alive. She said, Alhamdulillah. And I'll just leave this here. And let's take it however we want to take it. And again, we need your emails. We need you to send us feedback. We need you to interact with us, because you are the listener. You are the ones who have taken the time to listen. And you're going to discuss this in your families, in your homes, in your circles. We want to hear the feedback. We want these topics and these discussions to hit a note, to become relevant with all of us, so that not only we listen and entertain ourselves, but we get some tools through which we can build something for ourselves in our lives, and hopefully then for humanity and the world at large.
Inshallah. So on an upbeat note, I actually don't have spaghetti sauce on my shirt or pizza sauce on my shirt tonight. And let's also give a special shout out. And I know I sent you the email, but I think it was our listener in South Africa.
Yeah, in South Africa, correct?
South Africa, yes. Hello in South Africa. I love emails in and comments like that, because to me, you know, I'm sitting here in the Washington, D.C. area with all my tech toys making this happen. You're in Florida with your very nice official podcasting microphone, and you're making it happen, and we're helping and motivating and reaching someone in South Africa. Alhamdulillah, I love what we do.
Alhamdulillah, we do. And thank you to our listeners in South Africa. Thank you to our listeners in Canada, in America, in Japan, across the world. Keep it up. Thank you, Brother Suleiman, for that email and for letting us know. We ask you for prayers, and we want you to continue to listen and follow along.
Inshallah. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we will thank Imam Azhar for taking time out of his day as he prepares for Ramadan and prepares to do, yeah, you know it, more traveling, because that's what he does. And we want to thank everybody from, as Imam Azhar said, Japan, America, Canada, South Africa. We want to thank all of you guys for listening and downloading and commenting, and we love it, and you know it makes us, it confirms why we're here, and it confirms what we do. So until the next episode of Raw Islam, we will say,
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.